Podcast 10, Shavuot and the Character and Person of the Holy Spirit. The reading for today can be found in Acts chapter 2. Today I want to take a slightly different approach to the event we to celebrate as Christians called Pentecost. Firstly, I want to outline some of the background of the Feast of Shavuot, or Festival of Weeks, which is the Jewish festival which occurred at the same time as Pentecost. Secondly, I want to look at the character of the Holy Spirit and talk about how the Holy Spirit fits into the Trinity and what this means for us as Christians. The Feast of Shavuot, or Festival of Weeks, is also known in Hebrew as Chag HaKatzir, Festival of Harvest. It's the festival of the spring harvest, and it's one of the oldest Jewish festivals. Exodus 23 verse 16 indicates that Shavuot was established at the same time as the Passover festival. The Feast of Shavuot is held over 2 days and takes place exactly 7 weeks after the second day of the Passover festival. And for the Jews, you will remember this, the number 7 was a special number of godly significance. Hence the Greek word that the book of Acts uses for the festival, Pentecost, means 50th, i.e. 50 days after the first day of Passover. Now this Feast of Shavuot celebrates 3 things. The giving of the Torah or law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Secondly, the bringing in of the spring wheat harvest. And thirdly, the ripening and offering of the first fruits to the Lord. The closest equivalent we have in our Anglican service traditions is the Sunday celebration we call Harvest Festival. In ancient Israel, a procession to the temple in Jerusalem would be made, bearing offerings of wheat and barley, and baskets carrying the first fruits of the harvest, typically such items as grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. Men, women, and children would all participate, and it's a very happy festival. In modern times, these processions still occur, and the produce presented is sold, with the proceeds going to a charity known as the National Jewish Fund. At home, many Jews will decorate their synagogues and homes with plants, flowers, and greenery. This reminds them that Shavuot is a harvest festival, and also that Mount Sinai was covered in green foliage when Moses received the law from God. Shavuot is also a time when Jewish boys and girls are brought to the synagogue to be confirmed in their faith through ceremonies of bar mitzvah for boys and bat mitzvah for girls. So why did God, in his wisdom, choose this festival to be the birthday of the church? Here are a couple of suggestions for connections that I see, and you may be able to think of others. Firstly, Shavuot celebrates the giving of the law. When Moses came so close to God that when he came down from Mount Sinai, his face shone and he had to wear a veil. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is made evident to the disciples as tongues of fire shining about their heads. Secondly, Shavuot is the festival of first fruits, and at Pentecost, the first fruits of the new church are gathered in and presented to God. And at the end of Peter's speech on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:41 tells us that about 3,000 were added to the number of Christians that day. Thirdly, Shavuot is a very joyful and happy festival. The effect on the disciples of this filling of the Holy Spirit is twofold. Firstly, it enables them to speak in languages they have never formally learnt. And secondly, it makes them so happy and ecstatic that some of the crowd think they are drunk. Fourthly, Shavuot is a time when new believers, that is, Jewish young people, make a public confession of their faith. And at Pentecost, the disciples confess their faith publicly in a supernatural way through speaking languages that they haven't learnt to the crowd, and also through Peter's preaching and sermon. So as we consider Pentecost, we would do well to remember Shavuot, because no building is built without a foundation. The foundation of Pentecost is Shavuot, and God, I believe, deliberately chose that Jewish feast as the launching pad of this new community of faith, just as he chose the Passover feast as the feast where the salvation of the world would be acted out. Now, at this point, I want to go on to the second point of my sermon, which is to reflect on the character of the Holy Spirit. Because what Jesus promises his disciples on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 verse 8 is that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them. So who is this person, the Holy Spirit? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is very different from either God the Father or Jesus, the Son of God. The concepts of Father and Son are very accessible to us in our human context. We know how these concepts work. But the Holy Spirit is very different from the other two persons of the Trinity. For a start, there's no obvious gender associated with the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or power. But is this person a he or a she? When the Holy Spirit is manifested in a physical form in the New Testament, he or she appears as a dove when Jesus is being baptized by John. At this manifestation on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's presence is signified as a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire. So none of these manifestations are gendered in any way. What are some of the names given in Scripture to the Holy Spirit that might give us insights into the character of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's lots of names in Scripture that give us some clues as to the character of the Holy Spirit. Counselor, the Spirit of Holiness, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Encourager, the appointer of leaders, the inhabitor of our bodies, the power giver, the helper. We can see from this list the Holy Spirit's person and activity is interwoven through our life as a church, our corporate fellowship, and our life of faith as individuals. Reflecting on this brief thumbnail sketch of the character of the Holy Spirit, I can only conclude that the Holy Spirit is not an add-on for our Christian life, some sort of optional extra. The Holy Spirit grows within each of us, the fruits of the Spirit, those essential Christian qualities outlined by Paul in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is also essential for the community of faith and gives the church the gifts of the Spirit, as explained by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, speaking in tongues, healing, prophecy, words of faith, words of knowledge. So what can we make of all this for ourselves as a people of God, we who are the temples of the Holy Spirit? Here are three things I take away from this study of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is involved in all aspects of our lives, both as a community of faith and as individuals seeking to grow in grace and faith. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is an active member of the Trinity, as the list of names of the Holy Spirit reminds us. The Holy Spirit is not just there to sort of be a placeholder so that we've got the required three persons for the triune God. The Holy Spirit is an active member of the Trinity. And thirdly, I think it's easy to overlook the Holy Spirit. I think of the Holy Spirit sometimes as the Cinderella person of the Trinity. But when we're praying for power to be a more effective witness for God, or trying to intercede in prayer for someone who may be ill, I think I should be consciously invoking the Spirit's help and asking the Spirit to pray with me and through me. My prayer for all of us at this Pentecost time, as we take time to consider our life as a community of faith, is that we may all make more room in our lives for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us individually and as a community of faith, and work through us. Amen.